In this short video clip, I want to speak for a few minutes on Philippians 1, verse 27. Now, whatever version you have, it boils down to the same. Paul writes to the believers at Philippi, and he says to them, I want you to live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Conduct yourselves. Live in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, I want to make it clear at the beginning of this video clip that I am not expounding this text as part of an extended discourse, a sermon, if you like. I'm giving a simple clip, a short clip, under this title, New Covenant Theology, Made Simple. Now, Paul uses a very interesting word for conduct yourself. We get our word political from it. And Philippi is a very political place, you see. It's a colony. It's an outpost. It's a Rome outside of Rome. It's a Roman city in more ways than one. It's really Rome in Philippi. And Paul uses the same idea when he talks about our citizenship being in heaven. Paul loves playing on words. And he's urging the Philippians to conduct themselves, political, if you like, in their daily lives, their family, their ecclesia life, their social life, their business life, whatever, to conduct themselves worthy, not of Rome, but of Christ, of the gospel of Christ. Who's he writing to? Well, I've said believers, but look at the first chapter and the first few verses and you'll see it. They're the saints. Nothing to do with the Roman Catholic idea of cardboard halos and simpering looks. No, no, no. These are men and women brought out of Adam into Christ, brought out of darkness into light, convicted, converted, repentant, believing. They've been regenerated by God's Spirit, and they're resting their soul in Christ. And God has justified them freely in Christ. He has positionally sanctified them in Christ. He is progressively sanctifying them by his Spirit now. He will glorify them and everlastingly receive them into bliss unending. This is the people to whom he's writing. Men and women who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith. And Paul is saying to those believers, now I want you to live your life in the place where God has situated you. I want you to live your daily life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He doesn't say it here, but of course what it amounts to is that this will be a witness and a testimony to their fellow citizens and a glory to God and all the rest. It's not the only place he says this kind of thing. You'll find it in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, a most interesting place, of course. It's the watershed of Ephesians, the first three chapters being doctrinal, showing the believer's glory in the new covenant in Christ and all the privileges that are his in the Lord Jesus. And the next three chapters, living out that new covenant position in daily life, in progressive sanctification. And the text which stands at the head of it is very similar to this. A life worthy of the calling of God. And you'll find the same in Colossians 1:10, 2:26, and 2:6 rather, and 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. I mean, it's the same everywhere. Life worthy of the calling of God, of God, of the gospel of Christ. It's the same thought in different words. I want you, he says, to live a life worthy of your calling, worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now the word worthy is a very interesting word as well. It's the word which we would understand by the balances. Remember the balances in your chemistry lessons at school when you weighed things and to fine accuracy. You had scales which had two pans on either side, and you put weights in one side and you had your chemical or whatever it was in the other pan, and the two balanced. And when they balanced, well, then you knew the weight. I'm sure that's old-fashioned now and antiquated, and it's electronic now. But the idea of the balance, of the congruence, of the fittingness, the two things fitting together, running together, equating, parallel. And you can see the picture is a graphic one. My life as a believer and Christ. My life must be Christ-like, must be worthy of Christ, must balance to Christ, must be congruent to Christ, must be conformed to Christ. And there are texts, Romans 8, for example, and other places, 1 Corinthians 15. Conformity to Christ is the great end. Christ-likeness is God's purpose in saving me. And that's true of all believers. And Paul is urging believers, live a life congruent to Christ, conforming to Christ, parallel to Christ, to the gospel of Christ, to the calling you have in Christ. Worthy. Live. Balanced. Conformed to Christ. That is what Paul urges upon me. And you, believer, if you're a believer. Now, why am I speaking on this in the New Covenant Theology Made Simple? Well, I'm thinking of an illustration by Mr. Spurgeon. He said, if you have a crooked stick, you know, one all bent and twisted, and you want to show to people how crooked that stick is, there's a simple way of doing it. All you do is lay down a straight stick alongside it, and everybody can see at a glance. Now, I'm going to do the same. The crooked stick I have in mind is John Calvin's Third Use of the Law. John Calvin set up three uses of the law in his institutes. Now, if they'd stayed in the institutes and been locked in a museum for 450 years, I don't think I should be bothering about it. But of course, millions have adopted his view, and most evangelicals, without knowing it probably, have adopted Calvin's uses of the law, particularly this one, the third use. The law is the believer's rule, perfect rule, and his guide to sanctification. The Reformed, of course, have been open about it and have said it in their confessions, and they preach it with vehemence. And they demand that we come to Calvin's view. If we don't, they'll dismiss us as antinomians. Calvin's view to them is truth, is virtually Bible truth. Calvin said the law, and by that he meant the Ten Commandments, and actually he whittled down the Ten Commandments because he didn't believe the fourth was a moral commandment, but the moral law, he said, is the believer's perfect rule. That's the standard he must conform to. That's the rule he must attain to. He must ever keep that in his mind and strive toward it. But of course, Calvin said, the trouble is with believers that they're sluggish asses or donkeys or mules, obstinate, sluggish, lazy. And so the law comes behind the believer also and whips him, driving him to obedience to the perfect commands of the law, the perfect rule. I'm not making it up. You can read it in his institutes, and not only there, but in his institutes. That's the crooked stick. Paul did not say that the law, the Ten Commandments, are the perfect rule. He said the gospel of Christ is. He didn't say that the believer has to conform to the Ten Commandments. He said the believer has to conform, be worthy of, in his life, to the gospel of Christ. And he didn't suggest at all, there's not a hint or a whiff of it, that the law was a whip to smite the believer as a lazy ass, donkey, mule, into obedience. The whole emphasis of Paul's text is quite contrary to Calvin's threefold use. his third use in particular. Calvin is the crooked stick here. His view is the crooked stick. I say to you, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ is the straight stick. One further thought. You will find that Paul used the word gospel 9 times, I think it is, in this letter. He used the word law, meaning the whole law, of course, 3 times. Why did he use the word law 3 times? Because the law was being taught at Philippi, because the law teachers who were plaguing the churches in those days had reached Philippi. And in chapter 3, Paul takes the law teachers on. Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 to 14, you'll see it. And he hammers them. And he hammers them, and he quotes the law. 3 times he mentions the word there, I think. And what does he prove there? That it's not the law which justifies us, it's Christ. And it's not the law which sanctifies us positionally, it is Christ. And it's not the law which sanctifies us progressively, it is Christ. I am not making it up. I think I've given a video clip on it already, but you can read it in Philippians 3, from verse 2 to verse 14. Christ is all. The point is this. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, this of all places was the place for Paul to say to the Philippians. Of course, these law teachers are wrong about justification. The law doesn't justify us, but the law does make us godly and progressively sanctify us. So they are right in that respect. The law is the perfect rule, and you must conform to that law. This is the place he should have said it. He would have said it, but he didn't. Why didn't he? Because it's rubbish. Progressive sanctification does not come about by the law. Progressive sanctification, like positional sanctification, like justification, comes about by Christ, the gospel, the calling of God. And that is why Paul said, I want you to live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. This will show to the Philippians what we want them to see. Do we want them to see the law? No, we want them to see Christ. Why? Because unless they trust Christ, they will never be saved. So, Philippians, live your lives worthy of the gospel of Christ, and show Christ to your fallen citizens and friends. In this fallen, dark world, shine as lights. In this dark world, he says, and he will say. And you shine as lights, how? By living a life worthy, balanced, congruent to, conforming to, like unto the gospel of Christ. That's the straight stick. And I really do think it shows the crookedness, the wrongness, the distortion of Calvin's stick. And that is why I am a new covenant man. I'm a new covenant man because I'm a believer. All believers are new covenant men and women. But I'm a new covenant man in my teaching and preaching and writing. Why? Because I see it in Scripture. I do believe that new covenant theology is simple. Not because I make it so, but because it is so. It is apostolic. It is scriptural. I certainly see it in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Live your lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, believer, now that we know it, let us today go and do it by God's Spirit.